So this is us. Welcome. My name is Markus Ketterl. Work at the Fraunhofer EIS, which is located here actually in Bonn, so it's not far away. I don't know if you are familiar with Fraunhofer's mission in general. So Fraunhofer is Europe's largest research institution for applied science. So what we do, we're trying to, well, bring new research ideas into the industry. So this is our main mission. It's not just that we are doing research, but, well, always in close collaboration with industry partners. Well, and my talk today is about our Open Roberta lab, so the Open Roberta project, entitled Visual Programming Environment for Computer Kids. Computer Kids is, well, you know it by yourself, I'm pretty sure boys and girls should learn to interact with the computer. It turned out over the years that this has been a problem. So kids, boys and girls, well, we're not that motivated, as we thought from the beginning. And, well, not just in Europe, but globally, worldwide, people, projects are trying to attract girls and boys to get in touch with technology and, yeah, better understand coding, computers, machines, how this world works. And this is one of our core missions here inside this Open Roberta project. Open Roberta is currently funded by Google, and we have a close collaboration with Google, so development goes along with the guys from Google, also with Lego is a further partner of our project. But this is for the beginning. I asked it before if we have teachers in the room. I heard there are no teachers in the room, because this is mainly, well, our target group is, might be wrong. It is also for teachers and learners, school pupils, young children, but it's good for me to know that there are no teachers inside, because then I can skip things or I need to explain, well, showstoppers, pitfalls, and limitations differently. A brief agenda. So what I have in mind for this little talk, well, brief introduction and overview, of course. I will also talk about the BASE initiative. So I'm talking about Open Roberta, but there was something before, which was called Roberta, and there's a history, and this also affects what we are doing. Lessons learned over the years, especially with teachers. So this is why I was asking to give you a sense of what is going on at schools today. And then I'm going to present you the Open Roberta Lab, graphical programming, how we envision this thing, or what we've learned over the years, how it should look like, how it should behave, how it should interact with people. And on the right side, you see some pupils that are working with educational robots. I'm not sure if any one of you ever worked with educational robots at all. Have you experienced with Lego, for example, Mindstorm? So this is this lady here, or this guy here, I don't know. It's a robot from the Lego system, from the Mindstorm box. Yeah, you can work with this. You can program it, it interacts with you, and it turned out that programming such a thing, like a robot, is not that easy. It is, you know, it is a machine, it is not a computer, it needs to be bonded to a computer, it needs to, well, store programs, so you need a lot from in the beginning to start with this thing. But once it is working, it is pretty cool. And it's not just for the little boys, also girls are very interested. And I'm pretty sure you can imagine that once a father sees such a cool thing, well, then there's another bonding component. But this is one of our target systems that we are aiming at. The current situation is, well, in industry outside, or I'm pretty sure you know this by yourself, girls who code are only a minimal group. So if you take a look at the big ones like the Apple, Google, Facebook, Yahoo, Twitter, you see, of course, women are working there. Also, young women are working there, but they are not doing actually technical work. So they're doing everything else, but they most of the time are not coders. Yeah. So it is a German slide. It's just indicating women in Silicon Valley, and the second one is indicating, well, the rate, male and female. And on the right side, you also see that most of the technical things that are you know, being done today are done by mail. Yeah, so, and there are different reasons for sure. Interest is, of course, one, but definitely not skills, well, or intelligence or whatever. But the problem is different. Young girls, women don't get in touch with technology in a way that, that motivates them, that keeps them in touch with technology. And it turns out for the industry that this might or is becoming an issue. We have not enough programmers, we have not enough engineers. People are coming from around the world. But still, women are not in a major position here. Also a question. Online coding or web coding, web tutorials to learn coding, has this been done by you or experienced by you? I don't know if you, for example, code.org, large initiative for coding, sponsored by Facebook, for example, or Bill Gates. They're putting a lot of money and effort inside these platforms to bring newbies to programming, learn Python or whatever, with small tutorials, video MOOCs, and so on. Yeah, to just keep people attracted. So anyone experienced with this kind of systems here in the room? No? Yeah, you in the room. Okay, yeah. So what we see on the left side is a system which is called Blockly. So there's a visual programming environment to, well, hide the complexity of programming. Anyone programmer here? Computer guys? So then. So you know pretty well how complicated this is to find the right function or to put things in a loop or while or whatever to understand the basic concepts how programming works. The basic ones, and of course then also when you think of Java Enterprise, for example, what is included in the package, what is an API, what can I combine with what, and so on. And things getting even more complicated. But the basic things like repeat, do, then, else, these concepts that are mostly true for all programming languages are always the same. Yeah, and but you need to understand most of the time that things are running in a certain order. Yeah, so you start with something and you end, and then in between there are clauses. Yeah, different ways to program. And if you're not familiar with this kind of thing, then you soon run into errors and you don't understand what's going on. And this graphical programming idea has been started around 1960. A lot has been done in this domain since that. Graphical programming environments, user interfaces, you all know that. Things that are going on in the browser. Without images, without buttons, we could not, our world would be definitely completely different if we just think about command line, bash, or whatever. That would just not work today, I guess. So everything needs to have some kind of icon. It needs to look pretty. But this is the world today. A lot of buttons and things in the front end, but a lot of complexity in the back end. And this, like code.org or Code Academy or also Scratch, are incorporating these ideas of visual coding. Not in every domain, but for the beginners, they start with this idea that blocks can be attached in a certain order to get the to give a good entrance. This is something that you find in all these platforms. Once you move over to hardware, then things are getting really crazy today. I don't know. Another question: are you playing with hardware like Raspberry Pis or Arduinos? Yeah, let's see some. Yeah, or. Maker rooms, so maker space, for example. So Internet of Things is around the corner for a couple of years now. It looks like that finally it arrives in our living rooms or at home. But a lot of computer systems, a lot of robot systems are showing up. Almost, not each day, but every month, every year, someone is doing something new with a Raspberry Pi or an Arduino board, build a robot, for example, or these guys here are Thinkerbots, small, well, it's actually not Lego, but these are small boxes that you can combine and build new logic, like this dog here that interacts and plays sound files. On the right side, the classical robot that really looks like a robot. This here is from Fischer Technik. You know, this Atomio system running. So a lot of hardware, a lot of programming, and based on our experience, it is still a hustle or still an issue to bring the world of the web browser and really an hardware device together in a good way. Yeah. So as mentioned previously, Open Roberta is the title of this thingy here today, or of our project, but we started in a different position. So we started around 2002, actually targeting school classes, teachers, pupils, so making robot classes at schools really early. I don't know, around in the fourth, fifth, sixth grade, this is where we normally start with this idea of this is the robot. Let's see how you can interact with the robot. You see some girls sitting here, boys sitting here. And we've learned a lot of things, how girls, for example, work with the robot. Robots are getting dressed up, for example, by girls. Boys are doing completely different things, doing some battling, you can imagine. But there are differences, but in the end, it turns out that boys as well as girls are solving the problems. They're solving problems differently. Sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it's a completely different solution, but this is interesting. So it's not a problem of stupidity or whatever. It's just a matter of how easy it is and, just to keep them playing with this hardware. So what we have achieved with Roberta is actually that, you see it here on the slide, we are reaching 30,000 girls and boys annually over this robot classes in the schools. So which is not a small number. It is, it is motivating, I guess. So approximately 50% girls. This is from each year different as well. You can imagine sometimes you have more girls, sometimes less girls. But in the middle, we reach as many girls as boys, with this initiative. And, the basic work is actually to train teachers, to get familiar with robotics, to also get familiar with how things work. And then these teachers are going back to their schools, meeting with their pupils, and start doing something with the school children. Yeah, this is how it works, and it turned out that this works quite well. Teachers are, happy because someone is taking care and someone is giving them a hand with this technology things. And on the other side, you see this laughing girls. There is something that in the end works and interacts with a computer and does what it was intended to do by programming. Well, around 2000 we started. 2015 is now Open Roberta started in the middle because it started with it was a pedagogical initiative, not a technical one in the beginning. And we had over the years different funding schemas. It was involved in European project. It has German local funding. It also received funding from industry. You can imagine that companies are, today it is even more important to get young girls and boys familiar with companies, so then later they are still remember these companies as a good company, and I guess you get the story. So this is why companies are interested in supporting this initiative as well. It is, politically correct, so to say. So it is a good thing to for vendors, for companies, to do something for schools and don't lose contact to the technical world. So over the years, different partners were on board, off board as well, but this is, so to say, our core team of interactors. So it's Google, Oracle, Wilhelm Stemmer Stiftung, Fraunhofer in general, is supporting what we are doing. Yeah, otherwise it wouldn't work, of course. Continental and Lego, which Lego provides us with robots. But I'm not sure if I mentioned in the beginning, we're targeting different hardware as well, because we are also aware of people are doing crazy things with additional hardware, and we want to incorporate these different hardware pieces as well in our systems and make programming easy for these different hardware devices. So as mentioned, Roberta starts, we start here with a certified Roberta training. So we're teaching teachers. These teachers are teaching other teachers, like the snowball system, and they're going back to their schools and teaching actual pupils, right? Girls and boys then sitting in the classrooms and learning together with their teachers based on Roberta learning material, so things that incorporate also lessons learned over the years, like what was working, what was not working, experiments, these kind of things. And it has turned out that this concept has been taken off different partners from foreign countries as well. It's currently mainly a Europe thing. Yeah, we're running this thing mainly in Europe countries, England, Norway, Italy, Austria. But we also received some letters of intent and interest from US, for example, or Asia. Exactly. For example, the question was if this thing, as far as if I got you right, so if it can be used in physics and mathematics classes, and how this socially works, then was this the question? Yeah, it is mainly, of course, it is mainly targeting mathematics and physics, of course. So it is targeting STEM, all the technical subjects that people, girls and boys are running through and facing at schools. But there are experiments for physics and math stuff inside this Roberta learning material, books and PDFs and online tutorials available for someone that is not a teacher but wants to have a group or wants to work with a group of newbies and interact with robots, for example. Yeah, it is available. And some parts are free. Some parts are, the books are not expensive, but material is there. So what we've learned once starting really to interact this or to bring this to the schools is a teacher is not a computer guy most of the time. He or she is not an administrator, and he or she does not want to spend time on modifying things or also not keep things updated, viruses, etc. Most of the time, because, our kids or school children are smarter regarding technical stuff like computers or whatever. As the teachers don't know how Facebook works, for example. They don't know how Skype works. This is not true for all teachers, for sure. But you can imagine working with this huge amount of lecturers and teachers over the years. We learned a lesson that this Hello World thingy is complicated to maintain on the long run. Just another example, if you're a teacher in school, you're not allowed to download 1 gigabyte of space, for example, or data amount. Or ports are not open because this is not allowed. You can't interact with different ports than the normal 80 port, for example. These are just small restrictions. You also, many times such a school lab only includes old hardware, old Windows machines. Nobody cares. So this is the reality. And with this setting, you should also spend time on 15-year-old girls and boys. You can imagine how complicated this ends. So Teachers also teaching different subjects, so they are not, well, they love math, they love physics, but they don't care about computers, they don't care about hardware. It's also not true for everyone, but for many, they are taking care of many things. But they won't care, or they don't care much about hardware. They want to include mobile devices, they want to include tablet devices, and as mentioned, they won't spend time on updating Windows XP to Windows 2010 or whatever. Yeah, this is the reality. Yeah, so they're left alone with technical problems. Yeah, this is what we've seen, and this is what is reported. Another one, also, if you would be familiar with graphical environments, I put on the right side, this was a research that has been done last year where we took a closer look at what is there in the lecture rooms. These are quite typical systems that are being used, not just in Germany, but worldwide. It's NXT, U3, Enchanting, RobotC, ModKit, Grape, are systems, IDEs, that are running on the computer and target different hardware platforms than in the end. And it turns out that all these thingies, besides ModKit, things need to be installed. You need to update stuff. You need to cable things together. And you can't incorporate new devices. You can't incorporate your own device. You can't start things from outside. You can't just use it from at home, for example. So you need to be in the school lab to really work with these things. Yeah. So it costs long-term support, long-winded installation, as mentioned, pairing of hardware, cross-device platform, usage data. Turns out that, you can imagine. Boys and girls in schools are, so data there is even more important, like photographs and things like that, or personal data from our kids should not be taken by outside companies. So teachers are taking very, very much care of the data that is being recorded and gathered from the systems for outside companies like Google, for example, or Facebook or whatever. So privacy is of huge importance once we are dealing with schools. Yeah. Well, and the take-home message here is that everything that is there is complicated to run and needs some care. It needs to have someone that updates stuff and presses the right buttons at the right time. So with Open Roberta, we really try to make sure that we not run into these pitfalls again. So we want to make programming with different hardware devices as easy as possible. And how you do this today, you need to incorporate things in the web browser. So there is no other way. As far as we understood the domain, there is no need anymore to force people to install things on their machines or to install things in the lab environments. Everything should run out of the box in the web browser, on mobile devices, on tablets, and no complex system setups. And also this hardware connection should work without pain. Yeah, I go through these different aspects later, show you stuff, of course, in the web browser, how things look like. Just be patient for a couple more minutes. So reducing the complexity is, of course, one of our aims. Yeah, using modern web technology, cloud technology, we're trying to collaborate in these online platforms with schools. Yeah, mostly important is that things are running independently so that a school can decide if they want to work with other schools or if they don't want to work. So keep things really private, but use the web browser and not something complicated. Yeah, our mission, today's generation develops for the generation of tomorrow. What it is actually, it is an online programming environment based on visual coding. I show it to you like blocks, let me see that. So you can interact with a programming device, with a hardware device, by combining functions that are presented visually and in block form. Yeah, and you can then stick things together. I'll show you then an example. It has been designed, the language has been designed to not just work with Lego, because this thingy here is not that cheap. It costs around 400 euros. And you can imagine, like, if you have children at home, you think two times if this thing is really necessary or not. If you can find cheaper hardware that does the same or similar things, yeah, you know. So we are pretty much aware of making sure that these different hardware devices can also be bundled and coupled to the easy programming environment that we envision. Source code is free available, of course. Anyone can participate. Currently, we are developing, Fraunhofer and Google engineers are working together to speed up, to come up with the right features that are important from release to release. So it started 1 year ago, the actual coding of this online platform for visual coding of hardware. And we are moving soon. We're moving pretty fast forward. So we're incorporating new features in each release. Yeah, with the intention in mind that really no dedicated servers or admins are needed anymore. So then let's see how this thing looks like finally. So what we are providing is, because developers that are working currently in the project are also working in other open source domains, like OpenCast, for example, or the Google guys are working in different open source projects. So we know, based on our experience, how to combine people, how to get in touch with each other, how to make sure that software is not breaking from each day, each week. So build servers are there, issue trackers are there, a wiki is there to get you involved with a general idea, how you start doing something, how you can interact. Yeah. This is how it currently looks like. So it's I'm running localhost currently because I'm not quite sure if I can access the systems outside based on the wireless network here. So this is coming up once you start the source code. So, and what you get there is different features. On the you can't see it. I see. So, you see on the left side different visual blocks that you can use to come up and program features of the hardware, for example, or features for a robot. Like what it does now, it is starting, of course. So there's always something that starts and ends. And what should occur now, what should happen now is the robot should drive forward with a speed of 30 and a distance of 20 centimeters. There are another blocks like you can also interact with the browser with sensors, like this guy here, this fellow here, has a sensor which tracks the light environment. So it can distinguish between colors, for example, can distinguish between dark and bright. Yeah. So maybe we can have a look afterwards, a brief experiment. It's called line follower. Yeah, you see you interact with the sensor here, and this thingy then reports back to the machine orders for the motors, like where it should, if it should turn right or left, or if it should go faster or slower. And well, the mission is, of course, to not lose track of the line. Yeah, that's our mission here. And it turns out it works quite well. It is interesting. It's actually not a complex thing to do, but for a beginner, yeah, it takes a while to get the story. So logic things are there, so you can distinguish between variables. You can combine like logic, math logic, and or like what you know from systems programming. And in the current release, we also built in a simulation because we know that not everyone is actually spending a lot of money for hardware devices. And to do the first steps, to do the things at home, you can start with different simulations to test your program. This is, for example, yeah, you see our visualized robot on the top here. It is sending out the signals. The signals are sensor values. So it tries to interact with the environment and checks objects. Yeah, it also uses the light sensor or the color sensor to interact with the environment, like checking which colors is under the machine, so red, black, blue. It is also able to, you see the red bumper, it is also able to interact. Yeah, and let me just load a program here so that you get a sense how a more complicated thing looks like. So you see a combination of, oh, come on. A combination of different tasks based on sensors or based on blocks that are currently available. It is actually pretty easy to come up with, pretty easy might be the wrong one. If you're familiar with development in general, then it is easy for you to come up with new blocks, combine new blocks for this lab environment that are not there. It is described how to do that. And you see here a structured program of what the robot should do in order. Well, I tried to make sure that this fellow here finds its way to the parking lot. And what it's doing here, it is following the road. Well, not quite perfect, but almost. So it's using the wrong way. It's going back, and it's going back as far as it recognizes the green square, then turns left and moves very fast to the parking position. So this is the idea. So, as mentioned, we are started with the visual simulation a couple of weeks ago. So, sorry that it's not that we don't have more demos here available, but we're working on this area quite crazy at the moment. And maybe a different one can just this one. So there's a line follower, for example, that you can use. But also a feature where you can draw something. So the idea would be to come up with mathematical functions and let the robot go crazy for a couple of days and draw mathematical functions and see what is going on there. So we think this is helpful for newbies here to get in touch with programming. But on the other side, if you don't end up here, you can also have a look at how. Yeah, come on. So what is currently going on under the hood is these, because you guys are developers, are familiar with developing. These things here, these graphical things here are based on XML representations. So things are described in XML with color schemas and so on, with dimensions. And the backend server is actually transforming these XML stuff to Java code. So, and Java is something that the fellow here on the right side understands. So it has a certain feature set. It does not, of course, support complete Java Enterprise with all the frameworks, but it has interaction possibilities to work with the motors, to play sound files, to show something on the display. And we know that this is true for other hardware devices as well. So the visual code, so to say, goes back to the server and gets there compiled. It actually gets compiled to char files with the right machine code or the right Java code, and is then transferred via USB or wireless to the hardware. And what I want to say is how things look like. Hopefully it is working or it is not working. I need to switch to the Ethereum. Thanks very much. Yes. I don't care. So let's see if I'm doing something easy here. So program start motor port B should run on speed 30. And you also get a sense of what the system or how code in the end then really looks like. So it is not just you stick together your visual things, but you can also have a look with what's going on in a real programming environment. So like you see here, the void main, of course, the typical Java try catch thingies, and you see how the interaction with the hardware should look like. And at the moment, because it is work in progress, we still have some imports left for the server. But we can, of course, filter this out to even lower the barrier here and to focus on just the, well, important things for a newbie. We're also working currently on a feature that shows on what you've programmed on the left side, actually in the source code, so that you see what is going on, what is running in which order in a real programming language, so that you understand the flow of information, the flow of data from such a complicated thingy. Okay. So I guess you got the story. No, that was the wrong one. That was the disco light. This is not what I wanted to do. This here is working, right? So I see it here, but you don't see it. So, it is completely down now. Thank you. Of course you can. So the question was if we have any kind of study here, if OpenRoberta affects young people on the long run, right? So if we have anything like that. So the Roberta Initiative has some work, some studies that show that things turn out well. We have not yet a lot of studies based for OpenRoberta yet. If this really is helpful at all, we think it is. And the feedback that we received so far from our networks is encouraging. So we think we are on the right path, but I have no written papers yet that are really indicating that this is really true, what we're proposing here. So I'm briefly restarting. I only have 2-3 slides more left, just showing you how to get in touch and to get further information. It's really killing my Mac. I see colors here on my screen that I've never seen before. Yeah, so it does not seem to work at all at the moment. One last try. Yeah, I started the Mac, but even so, what I still got here on my slides would be how you're reaching us. So how you're reaching us, though, as mentioned, the project is called OpenRoberta. The website is simply OpenRoberta, open-roberta.org. Yeah. There you get access to our issue trackers. So what is going on our development teams? What are our features that we currently prioritize? What is still on the roadmap? What is in the backlog? You can pick stuff. So we're really welcoming people from outside. There are a couple from guys from Finland, for example, that are joining in France. But you know how open source works. So everything is free available. There's no fees, no anything. You can use the environment that's what's there. You can use build service that we have. You can use infrastructure that is there. We're having weekly developer meetings online, so you can reach us in IRC, for example, chat. But we're also envisioning to have something of open Skype sessions to get newbies on board, talk with the developers. Yeah.
Is there an intent to connect
Yeah, it is. It is definitely. This is what the current setup is, that you're able to install everything on your local machine. So what you receive once you check out the source code, so you receive a Jetty server, so a built-in server. It is Java based, and it is Java. So you receive on your machine actually everything, but you can then use this server that is coming with the code to use it in a lecture hall or in a lab. And we have currently one version available for testing. It is called lab.open-roberta.org. Here we can lab.open-roberta.org. It is running not the last version. So it is running the last stable version. So it's not including currently the visual thingy, but we're also presenting next week, or 1 week and a half at the IFA in Berlin. And we're hoping that we get this thing ready, finally ready, in 1.5 week. So get out the next release candidate. It's currently under testing to find the last bugs and to find the merits and pitfalls that are currently still in the code. So in 1.5 week, the visualization, the visual stuff is also inside. But this lab.open-roberta is for people to play around with it. But the intention is not to have one single server that stores everything. We leave this up to the users or the teachers to make sure that the data from their kids stays at their school. But if they want to, they can, of course, also use the public environment for coding. It is envisioned. It is not yet there, but we envision to have social coding features inside, where you can share programs and things with students from outside, from India, wherever, different languages as well. This is on our roadmap, of course. So this is where we have been. So this is how you connect. So you format typically the Lego robot gets operating system and small modification, but it doesn't need to have this. But in this Lego thing, it needs to have some tweaks there that you can install via a microSD card. Then you connect the boy, he connects then the robot to the Wi-Fi system at home or in the school. And the communication then works over a token system. So you generate a token on the server, and the hardware then also gets a token to make sure that your program really ends up at the right hardware and not at someone else's. Yeah, so that's the token-based system. And then you can start programming and load the program finally to the robot system. Yeah, so the URLs are once again there. So it's called open-roberta. Code.open-roberta.org brings you to the developer world. So it shows you how to start the Maven things, how to get the code, where, tickets and stuff that you're currently working on, release blockers and so on. I don't need to tell you how this works, but we have the complete infrastructure ready. It's running on Fraunhofer servers. This was important for us also to really make sure that data stays under control, and not because I mentioned that there might be some problems for people that because Google is involved, and then we're working with children, it might turn out that there might be the fear that we're sending data from kids to Google for marketing or whatever. This is not envisioned, and this is not the case. We keep everything at the Fraunhofer service currently, and make sure that there is not no marketing things going on. Yeah, just as a side note. I know it's not important for you guys, but based on our experience and talking to people, to lecturers, it is of concern. Yeah, thank you for your attention. This is a photo from the CeBIT with a huge experiment here, a huge group of girls and boys that are working online or with the browser and do some programming of our mascot, our Roberta. educational robot. Yeah, this is how it looks like. So thanks for your attention. Any further questions?
Is it possible to have more than one robot in the simulation to the action experiments?
As we envision a lot of things for the simulation. We're honestly quite happy that because it has been done in a really small amount of time, and we were quite keen on, for example, the performance that we see in the web browser, like the frames per second that are running. But of course, we have in mind to online provide robots from different children so they can play together, program together, and not just use one robot. Yeah, of course, that's a good idea, and we have this in mind as well. But if you want to join, want to help, welcome. We could. Okay. These are cool ideas, and then they are getting even more attractive once they can be simulated, and then not end up with huge amounts of money that needs to be spent on hardware. Yeah, of course. Any further questions? What? Pardon, I did not get it. How to install things and so. Yeah, it is there. It is written. So the question is if we have information about this hardware connection things layer, how this is working. It is inside the wiki, and it is explained. We have something that is called AST, so there is an abstract layer for hardware that you can use to bring your Java code to another platform. So one of the Google colleagues is working like crazy. It's the wrong thing, but he achieved to use the generated Java code and use it then for Python programming and move it over to another system that only understands Python, for example. Yeah. So this has been done. It is working, and yeah. But this is also on our roadmap, of course. Other questions? Well, let's call it a talk. So thanks very much for joining this early on Sunday.